Well, my name is Mike Napier. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. I appreciate Caleb and Caleb giving me the opportunity to come and open up God's Word with you. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, just a couple, not the whole chapter, just a couple of verses this morning. I promise you'll be out of here by 3 p.m. Does that sound all right? All right. Caleb told me he doesn't normally let you guys out till about 4, so I figure a shorter sermon, I might get invited back, so an hour earlier than normal. My son and sister and brother-in-law are here. They're right here on the front row. I appreciate them being here this morning with me, and that's always a pleasure. When was the last time, let me ask a question, when was the last time you received a handwritten letter from someone? Seriously, talk out loud to me. I'm talking about you went to the mailbox, you opened the mailbox up, and you pulled out, and there was a handwritten envelope and a handwritten letter addressed to you inside. When was the last time that happened to anybody? You got one Friday? Good. Who else? You got one? You have two cousins that'll write you letters. A year and a half ago? Oh, of every month, her husband's sister from New Jersey writes them a handwritten letter every month. Who else? Anybody else? Yes. A year ago. A year ago. Well, sure. All right. Yes. Your mom writes you regularly, writes a letter, a handwritten letter. You know, it's funny because it sticks out to us, doesn't it? Those handwritten letters, you're able to remember a year ago. My mom writes me regularly, every month from New Jersey. We're able to go, wow, that handwritten letter, that was so special. That was unique. That is something that doesn't happen every day. Now, I could ask you another question. How many text messages do you get a day? And you guys would be going, they're a dime a dozen. I don't know. It's unlimited texting on my phone. How many emails do you get a day? Well, you're talking about the junk emails. You're talking about the promotional emails. You're talking about the business emails. I mean, all of those, it's just like, wow. But the handwritten letters, we go, yeah, that takes time. That takes a little extra energy. For my penmanship to be good, I have to slow down. Anybody else like that? I mean, I can type. I can type, and of course I rely on spell check. But I can type pretty good and go back and correct, you know, the little red underline stuff. But to actually write a handwritten letter with my energy that I normally have, that my sister can attest to, I've had since I was way little, right? This bundle of energy that's inside of me that just constantly comes out, I have to take a breath. I have to focus on my penmanship, and then my hand starts to hurt. Anybody else's hands start to hurt when you start to write? It's like you got to slow down. Yeah, I'm not the only one. You got to really slow down and concentrate to get that handwritten letter out. The Apostle Paul this morning in the passage that we're going to look at, he says something very, very special. He says that you and I are that letter that people read on a daily basis. But it's not just a letter from me, and it's not a letter from Paul. Paul tells us that we are that special handwritten letter, if you would, from Jesus himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, go down to verse 2. If you got it, say, I got it. Y'all are good. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are Christ's letter, delivered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence we have through Christ before God. It is not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. He has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, and that refers to not of the letter of the law, not from obeying the Ten Commandments, but of the Spirit. For the letter, and he refers to the letter of the law, not the keeping of the law, because that kills. But you and I are of the Spirit, and we bring life. Let's pray, then we're going to kind of decipher through that for just a couple of minutes, all right? Let's pray. Father, God, we thank you for your holy word, the Bible. And God, your word, the Bible is such an amazing tool that you use because you allow it to bring us encouragement, but God, you also use it as a sword to cut away things in our life that you want gone. So, Father, whether you use this passage that we just read that we're going to talk about to bring encouragement to some or to cut away from others, or, Father, for those within this room that just have never had a life-changing experience with you, God, I pray that they would meet you for the very first time today, and they, too, would become your letter. But Father, this time is all about you, and at the time of decision, may we respond publicly and unashamedly as if responding to you, because that's exactly what we're doing. We're not responding to a man. We're responding to your Spirit's drawing. In Jesus' name, amen. That I've given this message this morning is what does the world see in us, and what do we see in ourselves? And you could actually replace the two words see with read if you would like. And I hope you take notes, and if you don't, it's a good practice. It's a good discipleship practice to be in, taking notes. It helps us to retain what we hear and stay focused. What does the world see in us, and what do we see in ourselves? Well, the first thing that the world must see in us and that we must see in ourselves is the fact that we are Christ's love letter. You and I, if you are a born-again follower of Christ, now if you're not, hear me, you can become everything I'm about to lay out before you. You can become that this morning. Not because of anything you can muster up or the strength that you might be able to come up with. No, because if that was the basis, I would not be a follower of Christ today if it depended upon me. But see, it all depends upon the grace of God, something that we do not deserve. So if you're a follower of Christ this morning, this is what the world must see in you, and this is what you must see in yourself. Number one, you are Christ's love letter. We are his letter. As we live and as we breathe and everywhere we go, people are reading us. You know how we talked about just a moment ago, we shared just a moment ago, we remember those letters that we go out into the mailbox and get and we rip them open. Hear me, there are people that you meet that are, if you would allow the analogy, ripping you open, that's not a bad thing, and reading you. They're reading you. Some of you, as soon as I stepped up to the podium, or even as I waved earlier, some of you were reading me. You're figuring me out. You're going, well, who is this guy? What kind of guy is he? You were processing this in your head and even in your heart. You were reading me. How much more so as you go to work, as you go home, as you do your hobbies, as you go to your kids' sporting events, as you go to your kids' or grandkids', grandchildren's schools. People are reading you. What are they reading? What do they, when you walk away from them, what is left? You see, everywhere we go, everything we do, you and I are the letter of Christ's love to this world. That's what the Word of God says. That's not what Mike Napier is saying. That's what the Word of God says. Verse 3 says, you show that you are Christ's letter. Verse 2, you are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. What are people reading when they see you? What are people reading when they hear you talk? What are people reading when they sit next to you at that sporting event? What are people reading as they carry on a conversation with you at work? The love of Christ is supposed to be paramount for us as followers of Christ. And the love of Christ is supposed to so permeate everything we do that people read Jesus from us. Now, some might be quick to say, well, you know, I dress like a Christian. Oh, really? What does a Christian dress like? Strike one, right? Well, I drive like a Christian. Well, we don't want to go there, okay? We don't want to go there. We cheer for the OSU Cowboys or the OU Sooners like a Christian. We really don't want to go there either, now do we? Come on. Come on. I'll give an altar call on that one, right? Oh, you had a bye week, and they probably still went down in the rankings, and we're all hurt, right? Is it? What do people read when they see us? What do they, whenever you and I leave people, when we walk away from meeting someone for the very first time, what do we leave behind? Do we leave behind an impression of Christ Jesus? Or do we leave behind an impression of the world? Do we leave people full of the love of Christ? Or do we leave people empty because of what they heard from our lips, or the way they saw us act, or what they saw us plan or think? Some of you may, I don't remember if I shared this a year ago when I was here or not, but at one point in my life, I was a police officer. And I was a police officer in Sapulpa, Oklahoma, and I met a Creek County deputy named Robert Hightower. And Robert was a follower of Christ. I was not. And Robert introduced himself to my life in a very consuming way. As a follower of Christ, Robert entered my life, and I'd never met anyone like Robert before. Let me describe Robert to you real quick. Robert loved his wife and did not have a girlfriend. And for a police officer at that period, at that department, that was weird. I'm just saying. And if you have family in law enforcement or you have friends in law enforcement, you will understand what I'm saying. That was weird at that time. Robert did not use any tobacco products. Robert did not drink. Robert did not go to the fraternal or police parties. Robert did not cuss. Robert was weird to me. Robert was so weird. He stood out. You see, when Robert would come and introduce himself to me and we would have conversations or we would go grab breakfast at 4 a.m. in the morning or whatever it was, Robert would say things like this. Hey, Mike, I was reading a really cool book before I came to work today. And I'm like, mouthing off, going, what, you reading your Harlequin romance? What were you doing, right? I was mouthing off to him. No, I was reading from the Bible, and here's what it said. You were doing what? You see, Robert was weird. He would tell me what he read from the Word of God, and he would unpack it for me. And I'm like, why were you reading the Bible? I didn't get it. I didn't understand that. When we would sit down to eat, Robert would bow his head, close his eyes, and pray. And I'd tell him, you go for it. I'm going to keep watch. It didn't make sense to me. Robert was weird, but here's what I saw in Robert. I saw the love of Christ ooze out of that man for me. For me. A guy that did not deserve the time of day from a Christian. A guy that did not, that a guy that was so far from having a relationship with God. And yet Robert slowed his life down and invested in me. Now let me ask a question of you. Who is reading you? You see, I read Robert. I watched him. I backed him on calls. He backed me on calls. I listened to his language. I watched how he handled people. I watched how he talked to people. Who's reading you? Now, you might be sitting here right now going, oh, Mike, no one reads me. No, people are reading you. Who in your life is not a follower of Christ and is reading you? And every time you enter their life, it's like them going to a mailbox and opening it up, pulling that handwritten letter out and opening it to see not what you have to say so much, but as what Christ has to say through you. Who is it? Again, I say, is it that coworker? Is it that neighbor? Is it going to a doctor's office? Is it those nurses? Is it the receptionist? Is it the doctor himself or herself? Is it that relative that you have written off some time ago, going, you know, there's no hope for them. They will never turn. They will never repent of their sins. Perhaps you have written them off in your mind, maybe even in your heart, but the Spirit of God continues to open you up in front of them, and they are reading you. Look at verse 3 with me. You show that you are Christ's letter, delivered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. You see, my friends, you and I are empowered with the Spirit of the living God. And the living God speaks through us out of the overflow of our hearts. The Word of God says very clearly, Jesus said very clearly, it is over out of the overflow of our hearts that our mouths speak. But that's where it has to begin, isn't it? You see, for you and I, as followers of Christ, to be read through the power of the Spirit of the living God means that you and I are spending time with the Father. You and I are opening up the Word of God on a daily basis, reading from the Word of God. You and I are humbling ourselves on a daily basis, praying, seeking the face of the Father, asking Him to fill us overflowing with the power of His Spirit so that as we go through our daily routine, people that see us and hear us are not really seeing us and hearing us, but they are receiving the Spirit of the living God. You see, some Christians' hearts over time can turn to hearts of stone. The Word of God tells us that. But the Word of God also tells us this, that God wants to take our heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh once again. If you find yourself here this morning and you go, Mike, my heart is more of a heart of stone than it is a heart of flesh. Out of the overflow of my heart, I don't like what comes out of my mouth. I don't like what comes out of my emotions. I don't like what comes out of this emotion, and I don't know where it comes from. Would you begin today to commit to a holy and a sovereign God, to seek Him? Maybe not just once in the morning, maybe not just once in the morning and once in the evening, but all day long. Would you commit today to so seek the Father and so be filled with the Spirit that as you go and wherever you go, continually, as people read you, they would read the love of Jesus? Oh, church, hear me. Life is too short for anything less. Your life and my life. You know what I heard the other day? I was listening to a lot of podcasts. Anybody here listen to podcasts? Okay. I listen to podcasts as I drive or as I do this really mean, evil thing at my gym. It's called a Stairmaster. I do not recommend it. It's mean. It'll hurt you. In a good way, they keep telling me, but it'll hurt you. But I watch these YouTube videos or these podcasts, and I heard this the other day. Guy said the average life expectancy of an adult male in America today, I believe he said, was 72. 72 years old. Now, some of you are praising God because you've defeated that, all right? Good for you. Keep going. Others of you are like, I'm 71. I got 1 year left. Well, I don't know. But here's what this guy went on and said. He went on and he said how many summers he had left. I'm 53. I am. And if I'm not mistaken, 53 to 72 is 19. Help me with the math. Is that right? What that means is I have 19 summers left on average in this world to be read by people, to impact people for God's kingdom. I have 19 summers. That's it, on average. Now, maybe I'll defeat the average. Maybe I won't meet the average. But if 72 is the average, we really need to slow down and ask ourselves, just how much longer do I have on the face of this earth to have the privilege to be read by people so that I can impact the kingdom of God for all eternity? You see, you may be a follower of Christ here this morning. You may go, Mike, I know that if I was to die today, I don't care if I lived to 72 or 52. I'm going to go to heaven and have eternal life. Well, praise God. We'll high five on the streets of gold, all right? But who are you taking with you? Who is reading you like I read Robert? And I had a life-changing experience. You see, I read that man, and I read that man, and he was so frustrating to me. He was so frustrating because he talked about God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, church, love for his wife, love for his kids. And he so impacted my life that whenever he flat shared the gospel with me, I got saved, born again. And someone told me just the other day, Mike, you're just a guy that got saved and never got over it. Well, hallelujah. There's a whole lot worse things to be said about me than that. What about you? What about you? Have you gotten saved and gotten over it? Or have you gotten saved and your heart is so full of joy and so crystal clear that as people read you, they read Jesus? You see, some Christians in this room today are going, Mike, I haven't even thought about anybody reading my life. Well, maybe, just maybe, that's why God's got me here today to share this short little sermon with you. So totally rock your world, not by me, but by the Spirit of the living God, that you walk out of here changed, renewed, revived, never to see your life the same way again. The world must see in us, and we must see in ourselves the Spirit of the living God. But look at verse 4. Such is the confidence we have through Christ before God. It is not that we are competent in and of ourselves. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that refreshing? Isn't that freeing? You and I do not have to worry about being good enough in and of ourselves. But our adequacy is from God, the creator of everything that is. That's where our adequacy comes from. That's where we measure up from, is because what God brings into our lives, not what you and I can muster up. Isn't that freeing? In other words, let me put it even a little more, let me put it in Creek County terms. Is that all right? If you are so full of Christ, you can just relax and be yourself. And what people read is Jesus. You don't have to put on airs. You don't have to try to be spiritual. You don't have to try to be godly. It just comes out. How are we doing with that? You see, that's got to be one of the questions we ask ourselves this morning. How are we doing with that? Verse 5. It is not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Verse 6. He has made us competent to be ministers, that's you and me, ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit of God brings life. Who is Jesus harder on? As we see him live in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who is Jesus harder on, the religious, quote-unquote, people or the lost people? Tell me out loud. The religious people. You ever process why that is? Because they knew better. Or they should have. Instead of adding to the law, instead of adding to the rules, and then Jesus brought grace into the picture. And then you've got the old and the new, which takes my mind and my heart to two verses that you probably know very well. John 3:16. Raise your hand if you know John 3:16 and verse 17. John 3:16, that most all of us know very well, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not bring his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God did not send Jesus to bring condemnation, but to bring life. God did not send Jesus to bring condemnation, but to bring hope. God did not send Jesus to bring condemnation, but to bring grace. As people read us, is that what they're reading? Hope, love, grace? Or do people read condemnation? Condemnation of leaders, condemnation of others who perhaps aren't just like us, condemnation of people who don't drive Ford pickups. I don't know why you wouldn't drive a Ford pickup, but condemnation of people who don't own Fords, condemnation of people who don't go to the same church that we go to, condemnation of people who have tattoos and we don't, condemnation of people whose hair is red and ours used to be black. What do people read in us? Love, grace, hope, or judgment and condemnation? You see, we don't bring the letter. You and I, as we live and breathe, you and I do not represent keeping the letter of the law. You and I represent the love of Jesus Christ, who gave himself on a cross so that all who will believe in him will have eternal life. And that's where you and I come in today. And that is presenting Jesus everywhere we go with everyone we meet. Church, God has brought this message to you today for us to ask this very simple question. If you are a born-again follower of Christ, what is this lost world reading from you? Do we like what they're reading? When we process this last week and we process the lost people that we impacted, do we like it? Or do we need to repent? If we need to repent, that's not a negative thing. Hear me, repentance is not a negative thing. Repentance should make us smile, because with repentance is life. Repentance is a fresh walk with God. And then we have to ask ourselves the second question, and that is, what do we want people that do not know Christ to read in our lives this week? And for that, we don't have repentance, but we have prayer. God, as I live and I breathe, would you prompt me to live in the power of you, the only true and living God, that as people read me, they read the love of Jesus. Would you pray a prayer like that today? You and I have the privilege of being the love letter of Christ. But what if you're in this place and you go, Mike, I'm not yet a follower of Christ, but I want to become one because I want to impact people. I want people to read Jesus in me. Oh, I got great news for you. If you're here today and you're not a follower of Christ, you can become a follower of Christ today. You say, how do I do that? Oh, it's so simple. It is so simple. Hear me. If you're not a follower of Christ, you're right where I was when I met Robert. And here's what Robert shared with me, and I will share with you. You need to admit today that what you deserve for your life is eternal separation from God. You see, the Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. That death refers to eternal separation from God. For the wages of what we earn for our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That comes from a passage of Scripture. It's Romans 6:23. And the Bible tells us that we've all sinned, and so what we earn for that sin is eternal separation. So we need to admit that before God. God, what I deserve, because even one sin in my life, is eternal separation from you. But here it is. But God, today, I turn away from my sin, and I turn to you. And I will follow you the rest of my life as the king of my life, the Lord of my life, the boss of my life, whatever you want to put, because those three are synonymous for me. King, Lord, boss, I submit myself to you. You are now in charge. I am not. Thank you for forgiving me. Amen. You say words close to that, words something like that. You see, it's not the words. It's what's taking place in your heart. Would you do that today? Would you do that right now? Right now. Lord Jesus, I know I've done things wrong. I need you to forgive me. I turn away from those wrong things. I know I deserve eternal separation, but I ask you to forgive me, to be the boss of my life, the Lord of my life. And I will follow you, submitting to you without shame and without fear the rest of my life. Thank you for saving me. Now, if you said words like that or close to that for the very first time today, you said those in your head and in your heart, in just a moment, right after I pray, there's going to be someone here to lead a song, and there's going to be other folks right here to receive you. And I want you, in just a moment, right after we pray, to stand up, step out, and come down and take one of these folks by the hand and say, I prayed with Mike just a minute ago to receive Jesus, to make him the boss of my life, to be saved. Won't you do that? Won't you? You see, there's no, once you become a follower of Christ, and he's the Lord, he's the King, he's the boss, we don't live in secret because we're unashamed. He is our ruler. We are not. So part of submission to him is your standing up, stepping out, and coming down. If you're already a follower of Christ and you just need to pray with one of these folks about what people are reading in you, come quickly with them as well. Come quickly with them. They will pray over you. They will encourage you. You would make their day, actually, if you allowed them to pray with you. Oh, I mean that. It's not a burden. It's a joy. And as a church, just what we get to do together is strengthen one another and encourage one another. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Some in this room, they need to turn from their sins today and to turn to you for the very first time and be saved. God, I pray they come quickly. For others that are already followers of yours, God, they just need a prayer of encouragement. They need someone to pray with them about what people are reading in their lives. God, I pray they too would come and come quickly, being encouraged, being strengthened in their walk. But, oh God, may as we respond, you get the glory, you get the praise, and as we respond publicly, we point others towards you. So thank you in advance for people pointing others towards you as we respond. In Jesus' name. Stand with me if you would, and as you stand.